Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Nature and Nurture of Narcissism by Peter Salerno Saidi explores narcissistic personality disorder through the lens of gene-environment interaction, a framework that avoids simple either-or explanations. Rather than treating narcissism as purely a product of bad parenting or purely a fixed biological trait, the book invites readers to consider how inherited temperament, sensitivity to stress, early attachment experiences, and later social learning can combine to shape narcissistic patterns. Written from a clinical psychology perspective, it aims to clarify what NPD is, how it differs from everyday self-focus, and why it can be so confusing for partners, families, and even clinicians. The focus on interaction helps explain why two people can experience similar environments yet develop very different outcomes, and why the same person can present with grandiosity in one setting and fragility in another. Readers can expect an integrative, biopsychosocial approach that connects research concepts to practical understanding and compassionate boundaries. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a gene-environment interaction map for narcissism, a central contribution of a gene-environment interaction approach, is that it reframes the question from what causes narcissism to how multiple influences combine across development. The model suggests that inherited traits such as emotional reactivity, reward sensitivity, or low distress tolerance can create a starting point that makes certain experiences more impactful. Environments then do not merely add on top of biology, but can amplify, soften, or redirect those predispositions. This helps explain why narcissistic features can look different across individuals and families, and why a single cause story often fails. The interaction lens also distinguishes between risk factors and inevitability. Genetic influence may increase vulnerability, but it does not lock a person into a fixed destiny. Conversely, difficult upbringing is not automatically determinative. The framework encourages readers to think in terms of pathways, what a child needs to develop stable self-esteem, empathy, and emotion regulation, and what happens when those needs are repeatedly missed. It also introduces the idea of differential susceptibility, where some people are more affected by both adversity and support. That concept can inform prevention, parenting, and treatment choices without assigning blame to one parent, one relationship, or one event. Secondly, grandiosity and vulnerability as two faces of the same pattern. Understanding narcissism often requires holding two seemingly opposite presentations at once. On the surface, many people associate narcissism with confidence, dominance, and entitlement. Yet clinical descriptions of narcissistic personality disorder also emphasize a fragile core marked by shame, hypersensitivity to criticism, and unstable self-worth. A gene-environment interaction view can integrate these features by suggesting that grandiosity may function as an adaptation, a protective strategy that emerges when a person lacks reliable internal soothing and secure attachment. If early experiences reward performance, status, or image while discouraging normal dependency needs, a person may learn to manage vulnerability by constructing an inflated self. When that self is threatened, the reaction can be intense because it is not merely ego but emotional survival. This topic helps readers recognize why narcissistic behavior can swing between charm and contempt, confidence and collapse, or affection and devaluation. It also clarifies why simple advice such as, "just be humble," rarely works. If vulnerability is felt as danger, the person may double down on control or blame. Seeing the grandiose and vulnerable poles as linked can improve empathy without excusing harm, and it can guide more realistic expectations about change. Thirdly, developmental pathways, attachment, parenting, and social reinforcement. Narcissistic traits can develop through multiple developmental routes, and a nuanced account examines patterns rather than stereotypes. Early attachment experiences shape how a child learns to seek comfort, tolerate frustration, and perceive others' intentions. If caregivers are inconsistent, emotionally unavailable, intrusive, or overly conditional with approval, a child may learn that worth depends on achievement, appearance, or being exceptional. Alternatively, environments that overindulge without boundaries can reinforce entitlement and reduce opportunities to develop empathy and frustration tolerance. Later, peer dynamics, cultural messages, and social media can intensify these tendencies by rewarding visibility, dominance, and image management. A gene-environment interaction stance highlights that the same parenting behavior can affect children differently depending on temperament. A highly sensitive child may experience criticism as devastating, while a less reactive sibling may brush it off. Likewise, a child predisposed to high reward-seeking may be especially drawn to status games, finding rapid reinforcement in competitive settings. This topic supports a practical takeaway. Interventions should target the actual learning history and current reinforcement patterns, not a one-size-fits-all narrative. It also encourages readers to move beyond blaming a single caregiver and instead examine the broader ecology that shaped identity, empathy, and coping. Fourthly, relationship dynamics, control, idealization, devaluation, and boundaries. For partners, friends, and family members, the most painful part of narcissistic pathology is often relational. Narcissistic patterns can include intense early idealization, rapid shifts into criticism or withdrawal, and a strong need to control the emotional tone of the relationship. When admiration is perceived, the relationship may feel warm and energizing. When limits are set or attention shifts elsewhere, the person may respond with rage, silent treatment, manipulation, or narrative rewriting. A gene-environment interaction view does not minimize these behaviors, but it can clarify why they occur. Threats to self-image can trigger disproportionate stress responses, and learned strategies such as dominance, charm, or contempt may have worked in the past. Understanding the mechanism helps readers choose safer responses. Instead of trying to win arguments or prove motives, they can prioritize clear boundaries, consistent consequences, and emotional disengagement from baited conflicts. This topic also emphasizes discernment. Not every self-centered act equals NPD, and not every relationship problem should be medicalized. By focusing on recurring patterns of entitlement, lack of empathy, and exploitative behavior, readers can better assess risk. The practical value is learning to protect mental health, reduce self-blame, and make informed decisions about distance, support, or exit. Lastly, treatment and change, what helps and what gets in the way. Treating narcissistic personality disorder is challenging, but a biopsychosocial framing can make the obstacles more understandable and the goals more realistic. Many people with prominent narcissistic traits do not seek help for narcissism itself. They may enter therapy for depression, anxiety, relationship conflict, or career issues, and the narcissistic defenses can emerge as the therapy touches shame or dependency needs. Progress often depends on building a working alliance while maintaining firm structure, because the client may test limits, devalue the therapist, or demand special rules. The gene-environment interaction perspective suggests that change is possible when new relational experiences and skill learning gradually reshape automatic responses. Interventions may focus on emotion regulation, mentalizing and perspective taking, reducing reactivity to criticism, and developing a more stable sense of self not dependent on constant external validation. It also highlights the role of environment in maintenance. If a person returns to contexts that reward domination or image over integrity, gains may erode. For loved ones, the treatment topic clarifies what they can and cannot do. They can encourage accountability, avoid enabling, and seek their own support, but they cannot force insight. The book's lens supports cautious hope grounded in boundaries and evidence-informed practice. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a balanced, research-informed way to think about narcissistic personality disorder without reducing it to pop psychology labels. Clinicians in training, coaches, and helping professionals can benefit from the gene-environment interaction framing because it connects biology, development, and social learning into a coherent model for case formulation. Partners and family members may also find it useful, especially if they want language for patterns they have experienced while still maintaining compassion and clear limits. The benefit to a reader's life is practical. Understanding mechanisms can reduce confusion and self-blame, improve decision-making about boundaries, and encourage healthier expectations about change. Instead of swinging between demonizing and excusing, readers can adopt a grounded view that recognizes both vulnerability and accountability. Compared to similar books that focus only on trauma, only on genetics, or only on relationship advice, this approach stands out for integration. It offers a framework that can accommodate different life histories and presentations, which is especially important because narcissism is not one uniform story. If you want a concise model that helps you interpret behavior, assess risk, and choose responses that protect your well-being, this book is worth buying. If you would like to support Peter Salerno's PsyD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.